Ramsey TV.
Was it tiring, Martin? Martin, was the conference exhausting? Do your eyes look so bad that you gotta wear sunglasses? What's the situation, Martin Zander?
Well, thanks for asking. The situation is that, yes, the conference was exhausting, but it was exhausting in exact relation to the degree in which it was wonderful. It was a fabulous conference. I'm still in Richmond, Virginia. It is Monday morning. I'm at my hotel, and I'm tired. I'm a little sniffly, but nothing too unusual here. I am happy to be with you. The show must go on, no matter what. I'm flying home today at 7:30 p.m. I have to drive first 4 hours to Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh yes, it was a big hassle on Friday. I didn't miss my flight. They canceled my flight because of a rogue storm going through Richmond. Rogue. It was on its own, completely on its own, not subject to the sovereignty of God whatsoever. Because God wouldn't have done anything as negative, as evil as canceling my flight on Friday so that I would miss the meet and greets. No, no, no. So it was a complete operation of Satan, complete and total. God had nothing to do with it. And so I rebuked the devil. That didn't work. Then I prayed the sinner's prayer. That didn't work. So I ended up getting here late Friday. I had a clever idea to drive. I couldn't get in anywhere. I couldn't get into Richmond. Couldn't get into D.C. Couldn't get into Baltimore. I tried even to fly. I was going to fly into New York City, try to attack it from the north. No, it was impenetrable, the eastern seaboard, because of these storms. That's okay. I persevered. And the conference was amazing. We had some awesome people here. I met some people for the first time. Some great developments happened for the work. So maybe I'll tell you about that later, but it was just stupendous. I don't know what kind of internet speed I'm going to have here, so I'm going to make the short. I'm gonna make the show short, okay? How many talks did I give? Well, I was prepared to give 9, but I only gave 6 talks. We had other speakers at the conference, and we had testimonies, and it was all recorded by Greg Davis, faithful recorder of events here at Richmond, Virginia, at the conference. It was amazing, as always. It's so wonderful seeing people edified, seeing people happy. They don't want to go home. They make new friends. And as always, members of the body of Christ get together and they just gel instantly. So I love seeing that. So one of the talks I didn't give because I just, well, I'm always prepared to do more than I have to do. But anyway, Romans 8:3, Jesus Christ condemns sin in the flesh. This is a great passage of Scripture. Do you know what Jesus Christ thinks of sin in the flesh, that thing that bothers most people? He condemns it. Wait a minute. He condemns sin in the flesh. Not just sin. He died on the cross for sin, right? But sin in the flesh, that is the sin that we still do because we're still in flesh. Do you know what he thinks about it? Does he mark it down? Does he keep track of it? Is he concerned about it? Is he wringing his hands over it? No, he condemns it. How the heck with that? That's the sound of your sin in the flesh being condemned. Let's read it, since it's hard to believe, but I'm going to read it right here. Romans 1, verse 3. Now, let's start with verse 8, verse 1 of Romans 8. How can I not? Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Greatest truth ever. We talked about that at the conference. Nothing is now condemnation. That means judgment. No condemnation. No condemnation is a down judgment. There's no negative judgment for those in Christ Jesus. Now, for those in Jesus Christ, which is a term frequently used by the circumcision writers, not so much. You still got to deal with your sin if you're an Israel type. And if you're in love with the gospel to Israel, well, this only applies to members of the body of Christ at present. So hop aboard, mateys. Join the No Condemnation Express. No condemnation up until the snatching away. How's that? Where there's no possibility of any condemnation because you're made immortal. You mean I got no condemnation up until the time that condemnation's impossible if you're in the body of Christ? Oh, I knew that was a catch. Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit. Oh, I knew there was a catch. You got to walk according to spirit. That's not it at all. Listen carefully to this. The word according in the Greek means down as. That's the English element, down as. There, but people who understand this, nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. That is a spiritual revelation. And those who understand it are walking according to the Spirit. That is, they're down with the Spirit. Like, I'm down with what the Spirit of God says and what the Spirit of God is doing. So they're not walking down with flesh. The flesh is still operating. You understand, there are two elements still operating in you, even though you're in the body of Christ, as long as you're mortal, and that is spirit and flesh. They're opposing one another. You're still flesh. Now, if you're down with the flesh, if you're walking according to flesh, then you're not going to understand this truth, because walking according to flesh doesn't mean you're sinning. It could mean that, but it just means you're concerned about sin. You're wringing your hands over it. You're obsessing over it, like, oh my God, am I sinning too much? Am I still a sinner? Well, yes, you are a sinner. It's possible you're sinning too much, but it's probable that you're not. Because when you appreciate this truth, that just takes a desire right out of you to sin, saps it right out of you. I haven't sinned in 48 hours. No, it's me, Martin Zender. I haven't sinned for 52 hours. I have not sinned once. It's great. What did I do 57 hours ago? Never mind. I'm just playing with everybody here. Oh, not literally. Stop it. Okay. Not according to flesh are they walking, but according to spirit. For the spirit's law of life. There's a contradictory term, the law of life. Paul's using a play on words here. The spirit's law of life. The flesh has a law. It's called the law of Moses. The spirit has a law. It's called the law of life. I'm under the law of life. Here's the law of life. There's now no more condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. That's a joke law. Paul's using a term kind of like a figure of speech, known as the figure of retention. He's retaining the term, but using it in a whole new light. It's a great term. The spirit's law of life. It's a joke. It's a joke for those who are still under the law of Moses. Oh, yeah, well, we're under law, too. You're under the law of Moses? Yeah, we're under the law of Moses. Oh, well, I'm under a law, too. Good. What law are you under? Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus. What's the key element of that law? Well, there's no more condemnation for me, no matter what I do. It doesn't sound fair. Well, it's not fair. Spirit's law of life. That's a joke phrase. It's funny. Really is funny. Spirit's law of life. It really is. Paul's winking. He's like, ah, yeah, you want to be under a law? Okay, well, we're under the Spirit's law of life. Not Moses' law of death. The Spirit's law of life. Compare. Shop and compare. Moses' law of death. Spirit's law of life. Which would you rather be under? Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus frees you from the law of sin and death. There you go, see? I just contrasted it, and there it is. Law of sin and death. For what was impossible to the law. See, I've told you we're talking about the law of Moses in this context, contrasting it with the Spirit's law of life. What was impossible to the law, in which it was infirm through the flesh? Not many people realize that yet. The law is infirm through the flesh. What was impossible... You hearing this? Anybody who still likes the law of Moses? What was impossible to the law? Why? Because it was infirm through the flesh. I said you're still in flesh, even though you have the Spirit of God in you. But the law is impossible. Israel proved this, so you don't have to. What was impossible to the law and which it was in through him to the flesh, did God. When did God do what was impossible for flesh to accomplish? Well, God sent his son to the cross, who obeyed law perfectly, and he did away with it for those in Christ Jesus. Did God, sending his own son, see, I told you, there it is, sending his own son in the likeness of sin's flesh. That's what had to happen. He sent him in the likeness of sin's flesh. And concerning sin, here it is, here's the money phrase, he condemns. Concerning sin, you want a message concerning sin? We need a message concerning sin. You don't talk enough about sin, damn it. Well, you don't care if people sin. You got to give us a message on sin, Martin Zander, you freaky lunatic. All right, here it is. Here's a message on sin. Concerning sin, here it is. You want a message concerning sin? Concerning sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. So, he doesn't condemn me. You notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, concerning sin, he condemns Martin Zender. You hear him saying that? No. Concerning sin, he condemns sin. Not me, sin. In the flesh. Whose flesh? My flesh, your flesh. That the just requirements of the law, not the law, the just requirements of the law, not the law, the requirements of it may be fulfilled in us who are not walking in accord with flesh, but in accord with spirit. That is, doesn't mean we're not sinning. It just means we're not walking down with the dictates, the condemnations of the flesh. The flesh is constantly rising up, inspired by Satan. And I'm not talking about sin now. I'm talking about that aspect of flesh that would dare you to believe that you're justified. The real manifestation of the flesh is fighting according to flesh. That's isn't that ironic? The people who accuse you of being in the flesh because they think you're living a wild and crazy life. Wild and crazy life. I'm at a conference in Richmond, Virginia. They think you're living a wild, crazy life. They're actually the ones in the flesh. They're actually the ones walking according to flesh because they're constantly worried about the flesh. Constantly monitoring the flesh. I think they're constantly wondering, why didn't Jesus do anything about my flesh? He did, but it's an apprehension. It's a realization concerning something that has been done in fact, but that is waiting to be realized in act. That is, our bodies of sin will be nullified. But until then, we still sin, but Jesus Christ condemns our sin in the flesh, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. This apprehension comes to those who are down with, that is, who walk according to the Spirit's declaration of life in Christ Jesus, and they don't fret, and they don't wring their hands over somebody else's bill. That is, they don't try to fulfill Israel's law of Moses, which Israel couldn't even do. And why people do that, I don't know. I guess people just like to be miserable. But as for me, no. I like to be happy. I like to be happy. Sometimes I can't work it up, but that's okay. I don't have to work it up. I can read about it in Romans chapter 8. This is God's declaration, not mine. And when I read about it, it makes me happy. Now, this is Martin Zander. I'm signing off from Richmond, Virginia. I'm going to be home. Today's Monday. I'm going to be home tonight at 9:30. Who knows what kind of show you'll have tomorrow. It remains to be seen, but stay tuned to this channel. Same time, same channel, for another report from MZ.